North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM and 1450 and 1400 AM.
Well, hey everybody, here we go. It's Tuesday. My name is Barbara, and as always, we have a great show coming to you today. We're talking with Alex Newman. He is the founder and CEO or president of a media and consulting think tank called the Liberty Sentinel. Alex, welcome to the program. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be with you.
Thank you. You know, I was, of course, looking up some background biography info on you. And listen, folks, I want to tell you the list is long. Alex is an award-winning international journalist, an educator, an author, a consultant. He has written for a wide array of publications here in the United States and abroad. He serves as a contributor, but a senior editor or a contributor to the Epic Times, the WorldNet Daily, the Freedom Project Media, and a senior editor at the New American Magazine, which, by the way, Alex, I love. I appreciate it very much. So, Alex, my first question to you is, when do you sleep?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would like to get much more sleep. I also have five boys, and we homeschool them, so very, very busy season in life, but you know what? Our country needs to get put back on the right track, and so, you know, no time for rest right now, maybe later.
I hear you. I hear you. Well, it's a big job and a good job. You know, as you know, of course, ladies and gentlemen, our topic is the Great Reset, and I was thinking about this, and I thought, I'll bet I have lots and lots of people out there, Alex, that just need an overview to get us kind of into the topic. You know, what is the Great Reset, and why are we talking about it today?
Well, the reality is it's such a huge topic that there's no way to really condense it into a soundbite, because what they're talking about is transforming every element of life, every element of the economy, every element of the way business is done. They're even talking about transforming the human being. It's really quite extraordinary. Part of the Great Reset is something they call the Fourth Industrial Revolution. And if you listen to the people from the World Economic Forum talk about this, I mean, it's stuff that sounds like it's out of a bad science fiction movie. I mean, they're talking about putting microchips in your brain, and genetic engineering of human beings. I mean, it's stuff that's really just very, very bizarre. And, you know, when you boil it down, they're talking about making huge changes in every element of the way life is lived on this planet. They want to restructure businesses. They want to restructure the global economy. They want to concentrate more and more power at the regional governance level and then the global governance level with the United Nations and so on. So it's a huge transformation. They want to change our mindsets. They want to transform the food supply. And so we're seeing some of that now with the war on farmers. So basically, the Great Reset touches on just about everything you can think about. You know, I think I did the first article in the United States of America in any publication about the Great Reset. I covered it right after it was announced by the World Economic Forum. And for a while, you had the fake media saying I was being a conspiracy theorist and so on. But now it's common knowledge that that this is what they're working on. I think people just haven't realized how evil this really is when you dig down into it.
Yeah, how evil and how overwhelming, really, coming in, as you say, in every area of life and government and education and health. I recently read that there was a WEF, World Economic Forum, spokesperson that said, and I quote, "We just don't need the majority of the population due to the rise of technology." And kind of like COVID, I remember they were trying to figure out and tell us who were the essential workers and who were the non-essential workers. And I think that's another area, isn't it, Alex, that they're working on this. The people that are not really essential are the people that are not in tune with this technology.
Yes, and it's remarkable how open they've been about it. The individual you're talking about is Yuval Noah Harari. He's been a senior advisor to Klaus Schwab for a long time. He's a major speaker at the World Economic Forum. His books are heavily promoted by people like Barack Obama and former German Chancellor Angela Merkel. And I encourage people, I've actually collected a huge archive of his sound bites, you know, where he's speaking on stage or where he's being interviewed. And the one thing I really appreciate about him is how honest he is in his outrageous views. That he says the resurrection of Christ is fake news. He says we're going to be evolving into gods by upgrading ourselves and sticking microchips into our brains and genetically engineering ourselves. I mean, the guy is just kind of an open book when it comes to explaining the agenda. And I'm thankful for that, because, you know, at this point, nobody has to believe me. Nobody has to take my word for it. You can just look at the clips, read the books of this individual, and you'll see that they are talking about things that, again, they sound like they're from a bad science fiction movie, and yet this is their agenda.
You know, that really makes me think that one of the things that I want to get in right at the beginning, that so here's a guy, you said his name, and most people won't know that name. A lot of people won't know the WEF, but they will know these leading companies and these leading names. These are not just, what's the word I want, Alex? These are not just strange people out here in some corner of the world with a crazy idea. No, this is Bank of America, AT&T, Shell, ExxonMobil. They're all a part of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is part and party with the WEF. Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, Merck, Toyota, Wells Fargo, Microsoft, Google, American Express, and people. If you don't know Jamie, I don't know if it's Diamond or Demon, but he's J.P. Morgan. All of these leading people in America and in Europe, and there's just from all the way back to Nelson Rockefeller, the two Bush presidents, Kissinger, Gorbachev, all of them are a part of this. And like you say, this one guy right now, I mean, they're being really bold. They're just in our face saying, this is what we want and this is what we're doing.
Yeah, and you're exactly right, too, about the high profile of a lot of these people. Another one that I've been focusing in on is Larry Fink. He's on the board of the Council on Foreign Relations. I call that deep state headquarters here in the United States. He's also on the board of the World Economic Forum. And he also just so happens to be the CEO of BlackRock, which is the largest asset manager on the planet. They have about $10 trillion under management. For perspective, that's bigger than the economy, the national GDP of every country in the world, except China and the United States. So these people are serious. They are very, very influential, very, very powerful. And so when you have people like that promoting these ideas, people need to take it seriously.
Yeah.
And, you know, the World Economic Forum put out a video a couple years ago where they had these so-called predictions for the year 2030. And they said the first one was you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. You're going to have to rent everything, they said, which, you know, that sounds like communism or slavery. Right? I mean, the foundation of freedom is private property.
Yeah.
It's just very, very bizarre what these people are up to. And like you said, these are very influential people that need to be taken seriously. These are not just, you know, kooks out on the corner ranting and raving.
Right. And I'm going to drop a few more names before we go on a break and then really dig into this, Alex. Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Mark Zuckerberg, George Soros, and Larry Fink, who you just mentioned. You know, like you say, these are big names, big influence, big money, big industry, big pharma, big banking, and they want to change everything. All right, that's what we're going to try to get our mind around today with our guest, Alex Newman. And he is so informed on this topic. Alex, I am just so happy that you're with us. We're going to take our first break right now. When we come back, we're going to look at those 8 predictions that Alex was just talking about.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonners Ferry.
Hi Pondere Winery fans, it's shaping up to be an epic August in Sandpoint. We are offering our gold medal winning 2021 Pinot Gris as Wine of the Month. It's perfect for that evening boat cruise and pairs well with many grilled chicken and fish dishes. Bonnie Shear's beautiful artwork will brighten up our tasting room, and we have a full lineup of amazing music. We have wine-related gifts and a delicious menu for that perfect night out. Visit our Facebook page or website at peelwine.com for the latest on all that's happening at our 301 Cedar Street Tasting Room. The Pondere Winery, pleasing taste buds for the past 27 years.
Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet has added ReadyWise Survival and Emergency Foods to their line of food and storage supplies. They also feature preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, plus ammo and knives. And, of course, Grunberg Schloss carries U.S. and world coins, gold and silver, bullion, jewelry, and more. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 5, located on Triangle Drive, just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Pondere. Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet.
It's a beautiful time of year to visit the historic city of Stateline, the gateway to North Idaho's sportsman's paradise. Take advantage of the low, low Idaho prices on gas and tobacco products at A1 Smoke Shop, Amerimart, Liberty Stop and Go, and Lou Smoke Shop. There's great food available at Smoke and Mike's, Lou Taco, and Cooper's Express. And the nightlife is always exciting at the Saddle Store Inn, El Patio, Little Italy, Cruisers, Nashville North, Contiki, and Stateline Showgirls. Take it to the line. Stateline, Idaho.
Every 2 minutes, a woman in the U.S. is diagnosed with breast cancer. And in that split-second moment in time, her life changes forever. The toll of breast cancer is great. The need to support those who are battling the disease today is even greater. And that's why when others look away, Susan G. Komen leans in. We're fighting alongside patients because we know one moment can change a lifetime. Fighting breast cancer takes funding for research to discover the next new treatment, providing access to quality and affordable health care, and people willing to take action by raising funds and raising their voice to advocate for others. United by hope, we can end breast cancer. Join our fight. Save lives.
KBFI, KSPT, North Idaho's radio.
All right, everyone. Alex Newman is our guest today. He is the president of the Liberty Sentinel. You can search for that online and get a wealth of information, and a senior editor at the New American Magazine, which I recommend to you because of the detail that it goes into it. These are not superficial articles. These are deep. So you mentioned the 8 predictions that this group of the people that want to globally reset in one world order. What are those 8 predictions? Give us some detail on that.
Thanks again for having me on. It's an honor to be here. And so they put out this video a couple of years ago, and they came up with these predictions. And I think the real way to look at them is more as like agenda items or a wish list more than predictions.
Okay.
But the very first one was get rid of private property, right? You will own nothing, but you'll be happy, they said. Which, you know, that sounds cute. But, and the World Economic Forum has been very vigorously pushing this idea that you will own nothing. They've put up a whole bunch of articles on their website promoting this idea, including one from the Danish environment minister.
Why do they think that's important? I mean, why is that at the top of the list?
Well, I think because private property is really the foundation of freedom. Private property is the emergence of a middle class. It's what enables an individual to make their own life and to become independent and to kind of just stand as a free human being, right? If you don't own property, there's several categories of people historically who have not owned property. We refer to them as slaves, prisoners, serfs, right? The economic system for centuries around the world was basically you have the overlords at the top, right? The kings, the ruling class, and then the serfs would be allowed to occupy a little piece of land, but they could never own it.
Like a sharecropper. You don't own it, but you're working it.
Yep, exactly. So you work, and as long as you do what you're told, and you share 50% of what you produce, or 80%, or whatever your overlords demand, you're able to continue to occupy that land. But as soon as you disobey or don't do what you're supposed to, then that's when they remove your privileges. So that right in and of itself is very concerning. But then the very next prediction is that you'll rent everything, which is very, very interesting, because that implies that somebody is going to still own stuff, right? If you have to rent it, you have to rent it from someone. And so I think the way to understand this is they basically want to own everything, and they'll rent to us as they see fit. So those are the first two. They also say that 1 billion people are going to be heading to the Western world, basically Europe, the United States, Canada, Japan, under the guise of climate change, and that we have to accept them and integrate them and so on. They talk about Western values being tested to the breaking point. They say you can't really have like meat anymore. Meat has to be a very special treat, not a regular part of our diet. So this is kind of where they're going. And this is what they say publicly, right? I'm sure if you go into the smoky room where they're gathering outside of the limelight, you know, the agenda becomes even more transparent.
Yeah. One of the areas that they want to influence it, that I would like you to comment on is the global price of carbon, and that it wants to be an incentive to end fossil fuels. So my question may seem elementary here, but what is it about fossil fuels that upsets them so much? Is it this whole climate thing that they've glommed onto? Or I mean, what is it that they hate so much about fossil fuels?
Well, I think to start with, it's important to point out, I think the climate narrative is really just for the youthful idiots.
Right.
It's interesting because back in the 1970s and the 1980s, they were promoting the global cooling hypothesis. And what's so interesting about studying the global cooling hypothesis is that the solutions were exactly the same, right? They said the world is cooling because you're using fossil fuels, and so now we need to restrict your energy use, we need to increase your taxes, we need to take away your freedoms, we need to give government more control over everything, and that's going to save you from global cooling. Now they're saying it's global warming, but again, the same solution, right? We've got to reduce the number of people, reduce the use of energy. And I think one of the key things to understand is abundance and prosperity and a lot of material wealth and material well-being and a vibrant middle class is a mortal threat to their agenda. And so I think they need a world of scarcity. And of course, fossil fuels, and that's the nasty term they use. I prefer to call them hydrocarbons. Hydrocarbon fuels have been one of the biggest liberating forces for mankind, right? Instead of having to do the back-breaking labor and going out and digging a hole with a shovel, we can just bring in an excavator and we can do the work of 1,000 men in an hour, right? So it really enables this huge increase in prosperity that allows for the emergence of a middle class that's well-educated, that's concerned about issues, and they want to get rid of that. So I think that's really the agenda behind the hatred of fossil fuels, and I've been following this my whole career. I've been going to these UN summits since I graduated from journalism school, and I can tell you the hypothesis that CO2 is driving catastrophic global warming is simply ludicrous. But from a totalitarian perspective, because everything you do produces CO2. Incidentally, breathing is included, right? You exhale about 2 pounds of CO2 every day. There's no better mechanism to take control over every aspect of your life than saying that CO2, the gas you exhale, is a toxic pollution.
You know, they want anything that they can take a hold of that will put fear in us. You know, the global warming or the global cooling or just climate change. I mean, just kind of God's natural fluctuating climate changes. You have to be fearful. You have to be fearful of, if it's not COVID, it's going to be monkeypox. It's going to be something. And they want us afraid and therefore dependent, don't they, Alex?
Yes, they do. And dependence is the key, right? They want us to depend on them for our food, for our energy, for our daily bread, and that is key to understand. I think that's why a big part of this Great Reset, Build Back Better, Green New Deal, whatever, involves crushing the small farmers, the small ranchers, the independent producers, the small business owners, the independent professionals, right? They want to centralize everything into this giant kind of partnership between big government and big business, very much like they do in China, whereby if you want to exist and participate in society, you're going to have to be dependent on this system, and therefore you're going to have to submit to the system. And that, I think, is a terrifying, terrifying idea, and it needs to be rejected. We want a world of independent producers, of people who stand on their own 2 feet and don't need to bow down and lick the feet of their rulers just to be able to eat and to be able to heat their homes.
Right. I've been following, probably not as certainly as closely as you, the farmers in, I believe, the Netherlands. And they are fighting back against the government rules that they know they can see is going to destroy their farming, you know. And so just in that one alone, are you filled with hope, Alex, that there will be enough of a pushback in America, in the Netherlands, and other places to finally push back against the hot water they think they've got us in?
Yeah, it's very encouraging to see this, that people are getting informed, people are getting educated, and people are taking action and resisting the evil. But, you know, it's also a double-edged sword. I think what we're seeing in the Netherlands right now is very encouraging, right? The protests have been almost entirely peaceful. Yeah, I mean, they sprayed manure all over the politicians' houses and the government buildings and stuff. But, you know, other than the police taking shots at a couple of these farmers with their tractors, you know, it's been largely peaceful. What I'm concerned about, you know, these elitists, these predators, as I call them, the predator class, they understand that destroying the food supply is going to cause a very hostile reaction. And so I think what they're hoping for is to be able to channel that reaction into something that benefits their agenda. And I think that's what we really saw in Sri Lanka. You know, we saw these types of sustainability policies implemented. It completely destroyed the food supply, put millions of people on the brink of starvation. And then what happened? Well, the people basically had a revolution. You know, they rose up and they broke into the president's house, chased him out of the country. They burned down the prime minister's house. They swam in their pools. And they basically destroyed their own national institution. And, you know, I wouldn't say Sri Lanka's national institutions were anything to write home about, but now put that into the American context, right? Suppose something similar happened here, where we end up with shortages of critical goods, where we end up with soaring inflation, where we can't afford gasoline, we can't afford to heat and cool our homes anymore. And they manage to provoke a violent response like that, where people start tearing down their national institutions. That's a very great danger. And we're actually doing the work of the predator class for them. Ultimately, they've been very clear they want to destroy the nation state. And if they have us destroy the nation state for them, right, then they get a big leg up. So we got to be within this narrow band where we're awake, we're aware, we're resisting, but we're doing it using lawful and peaceful means so that we don't inadvertently do the dirty work for the predator class. And, you know, I'm encouraged by the awakening that's happening in the United States. I'm very encouraged to see what's happening in Holland. And, you know, I think it's critical to get this message out, right? Don't turn to violence. Don't destroy your national institutions, but also don't let them run us over like we're bugs, right? We have to resist this evil.
You know, boy, Alex, that is a really good point that the resistance and the pushback, and as people wake up to this and wake up, I keep thinking of the, you know, the lobster in the pot who, you know, when does he become aware that that water is going to kill him, that we not destroy the United States, because that's what they want. They want United States dominance to be over. And one of the ways to do that is just have terrible civil wars and terrible uprisings that don't stay within the fabric of law and our republic.
Yep. And I think that's critical. You know, taking the United States off the board, that's actually one of the eight predictions, right? They said the U.S. won't be the world's sole superpower anymore. We'll have a global concert of nations. And there is an agenda, I think, provoke a civil war, to provoke civil unrest in this country. We see it with the division that they're inflaming. They're trying to divide people on racial lines, ethnic lines, political lines, you know, anything they can think of to stir division, stir the pot, and get us to hate each other, right? Think that our neighbor is the enemy, the guy across the street from us is the enemy, rather than realizing that these divisions are being encouraged and they're being fomented. People are being radicalized on purpose so that we will tear our nation apart at the seams.
Yeah. And you know that, yeah, that we'll fight each other on ideologies. But the other one that you've mentioned, I want to just underline: not enough food, not enough water. You know, that creates, you know, people breaking into homes and stealing food. And I mean, that's a whole different thing than I disagree with you on an issue. But not enough food and not enough water can really turn people.
Yep, that's right. And I think that's one of the things that is coming down the pike. I mean, if you look at what they are doing right now to our food system, to our agricultural production, to our energy system, they're already now telling people in the Northeast to start preparing. There's going to be rolling blackouts this winter. You're not going to be able to heat your home. You know, this is serious. And when things get bad enough, you know, and when we've seen how this goes, right? Look what happens after natural disaster. Look what happened after Hurricane Katrina, right? Where people start shooting each other, breaking into each other's homes, looting, rioting. You know, unfortunately, after generations of decaying our moral values through you know, indoctrination in the public schools, through the hatred in the media, You know, this is not the same nation that it was 100 years ago. And I think there is a very big risk that people will turn on each other if and when things get tough. And I think tough times are coming.
You know, talking about we need a nation that's well educated. And I know that there are people that are listening to me right now that don't agree with me, that think our public education is all that it needs to be and all that it can be, and it's excellent. But I believe that there are serious weaknesses, even in our little North Idaho bubble that we think we're in up here, with a stronger educational system than others. And I want, you may not know, Alex, but there is an initiative that's going to be on the ballot in Idaho. It's called Proposition 1. It's going to raise, there's a lot of infighting going on what the real number is, but it's a half a billion dollars in new taxes, which is unbelievable for Idaho, and every penny of it is going to go to public education. And they'll just make it so difficult with new taxes for parents to choose homeschool or to choose a private school or a faith-based Jewish or Muslim or Christian that they will have to go to public education where they can be indoctrinated and given the level of education that they think is what our kids need to be learning. Would you comment on that, on how we need to be so vigilant in the education of our kids?
Yeah, I think that is one of our greatest responsibilities as human beings and as parents, is to ensure that our children get a decent, proper education. And unfortunately, and I'll make a blanket statement, you cannot get that in any public school in this country anymore. I don't care if you're in North Idaho or rural Nebraska or Kansas or Oklahoma or South Carolina, it doesn't matter. We now have a nationalized and a globalized education system. And, you know, people who think that the local school board is still making the decisions about what's going to be in your classroom, they just haven't been paying attention. During the Barack Obama administration, we got the Common Core. The Common Core is, of course, linked to international standards developed by the United Nations and Bill Gates. All of this is very easy to document it. In fact, I've been to North Idaho and given talks exposing this using their own words. I bring the video clips, the receipts, so that people can see that this is what they say, not me. And, you know, the idea that the public schools need more money is simply preposterous, right? I tell people to think of like a fast food restaurant, right? The fast food restaurant's advertising that they'll sell you a cheeseburger for $2, and you go there and they give you a decomposing rat on a bun. You know, and then they said that they need more money to actually give you what they promised. You would laugh at them. You would call the local prosecutor or the sheriff and have them prosecuted for fraud. That's exactly what's happening here. They're taking our children and they're taking our money and they're promising that they're going to educate our children. And yet, according to the government's own data, no such thing is going on, right? According to the federal government's own data, every 2 years they do the National Assessment of Educational Progress, less than one third of students in government schools are proficient in any subject. This is fraudulent. This is ridiculous. It cannot keep happening. And giving them more money is not going to be the solution. It's ludicrous. So I would recommend to you guys up in North Idaho, there's an individual who has made his living fighting these school board or these school issues with trying to raise taxes on people. His name is Paul Dorr. Give him a call and get him to come into the community, and he can help fight this. The last thing in the world, well, I'll say the second last thing in the world that they need is more money. The last thing in the world that they need is children. So,
yeah, hopefully the legislature is going to see if it passes and the governor signs it, that the money can follow the student. But so far, we haven't been able to get that done up here. All right, we're up against another break. We're going to take it now. We will be right back.
Drift Lakeside is now open at East Hope. New American casual fine dining with chef-driven concepts and a very eclectic menu. Check out their daily dinner specials and consciously sourced and foraged fare from local markets. Drift features stunning lakeside views and great happy hour prices from 4 to 5 p.m. So make your reservations today and check them out online. Open Tuesday through Saturday for lunch and dinner. Drift Lakeside, East Hope, Idaho.
It's time to elevate your finances. Introducing Ascend Checking, the simple, free checking account from P1FCU. It gives you the flexibility to earn dividends, plus get anytime account access with online and mobile banking, mobile deposit, and no minimum balance requirements. Level up your finances with Ascend Checking. Learn more at p1fcu.org/ascend. P1FCU, a Pacific Northwest original since 1938, insured by NCUA.
R&R RV in Liberty Lake is having a hail sale. The recent hailstorm damaged Springdale travel trailers at R&R RV Liberty Lake. Hail? Yes. Damage? Minor. Savings? Huge. Buy repaired, save big. Buy as is, save even more. New Springdale travel trailers come with full factory warranties and all rebates. But hurry, once they're gone, they are gone. It's the hail sale. R&R RV Liberty Lake, I-90 exit 296 or online, rnrrv.com. The time to buy is now. Yes, RV show pricing continues at R&R RV in North Spokane. Over 125 RVs are indoors at 525 East Francis. You'll save thousands with rebates and show discounts on Cougar, Rockwood, Montana, Class B vans, and more. Everything show price. You don't want to shop in this heat. Shop over 125 RVs indoors now at R&R RV in North Spokane, 525 East Francis, or online at rnrrv.com.
August 31st through September 5th, the 41st annual Pig Out in the Park returns to beautiful Riverfront Park in Spokane, Washington. Free admission, 50 food booths, 250 menu items, 4 adult beverage gardens, and 112 free concerts on 4 stages. Headliners include Too Slim and the Tail Draggers, Heart by Heart, Rail, Petty Fever, and Do or Die. For a complete list of food booths and bands, go to pigoutinthepark.com. August 31st through September 5th, it's the 41st annual Pig Out in the Park. You'll never eat it all.
It's a beautiful time of year to visit the historic city of Stateline, the gateway to North Idaho's sportsman's paradise. Take advantage of the low, low Idaho prices on gas and tobacco products at A1 Smoke Shop, Amerimart, Liberty Stop and Go, and Lou's Smoke Shop. There's great food available at Smoke and Mike's, Lou Taco, and Cooper's Express. And the nightlife is always exciting at the Saddle Store Inn, El Patio, Little Italy, Cruisers, Nashville North, Contiki, and Stateline Showgirls. Take it to the line. Stateline, Idaho.
North Idaho's Radio, KSPT and KBFI.
Everybody, my guest today is Alex Newman. He is a strong voice for conservative values, our republic here in the United States, and really common sense. So, you know, I almost don't want to use the word conservative. It's such a label, you know what I'm saying? Just common sense. I just appreciate you being on this show, and they're giving me a hard time because I'm like 8 minutes late on these breaks. It's like,
well,
I don't
thank you for having
I know
me on.
Yeah, it's like I don't want to take the breaks. Okay, I have a question about the 87,000 IRS agents. I know this may be off your radar, I don't know. And will they be armed? What are they going to do with 87,000 new IRS agents?
Basically double what they've been doing, which is targeting poor and the middle class and the small business owners for audits and for harassment. I'm sure a lot of it will be politically motivated. They think we're so dumb, like we forgot that just a few years ago, they had to plead the Fifth Amendment when they got caught targeting conservatives and Christians and patriot groups for IRS harassment. I mean, it's just simply unthinkable that the Democrat Congress could think that during a major recession, when people are already struggling to make it, that hiring, that doubling the size of the IRS is a good idea. But, I think this is part of the way that they move toward a world where you own nothing. I don't know how we're going to be happy about that, but, I think we need to be very, very concerned about this. And, yes, a lot of them will be armed. In fact, there was an advertisement. They were hiring IRS agents, and they said one of the requirements was you have to be willing to carry a gun and use deadly force. Now there's some videos that have gone viral of these IRS trainings where they have these, it almost looks like a circus, like a clown show. There's these IRS agents wearing these police vests and they're running around pointing guns at people. I mean, they're holding them wrong. They look absolutely ridiculous. And the scenario was, they're going after a landscaping business, because the guy didn't properly report, the way that he acquired his trucks or something. I mean, you don't need to run in and point guns at people over that. And when you look at these guys doing this exercise, you think, man, they're going to kill somebody. I mean, they're holding the guns wrong. It's just an absolute clown show. But I think we can expect
But it's a serious clown show. I mean, it's like calling parents who want to stand up at a school board meeting and disagree with some emotion and disagree and calling them terrorists. We have a thing going on up in our Boundary County library where people were getting concerned about books that were sexually graphic and written to the lower level ages, the 4, 5, 7, 8 year olds, and the librarian resigned because she felt that she was threatened by fundamental Christianity. It's just insane. And you can't get the newspaper or anyone to tell you, well, what was the threat? I mean, you were threatened because people came to a meeting and they don't like what you're doing.
And really, I mean, any parent who's worthy of that name, their top priority is protecting their child, and that includes protecting them from, pornography and the filth that is being pumped into their minds now in the schools and in the libraries, just as much as it means protecting them from, predators and people who want to do them harm.
Yeah.
So, it's very, very sad what's happening, and a government at all levels. You know, we just saw this incredible raid on Donald Trump's home by the FBI, and yet for a year we had, riots burning down our cities. The two-tier justice system in this country, I think, is now obvious to just about everybody who's paying attention. And anybody who doesn't think that that's going to happen with the IRS, and, of course, even our state and local agencies, which are more and more dependent on federal money, really is not paying attention and needs to look at this much more seriously.
You know, I think everyone sees that what went on in Seattle and Portland and San Francisco and other cities, Democrat-run cities, by the way, in 2020 and 2021, they see the discrepancy, but yet somehow it doesn't move them to get really upset. It's just like business as usual, or that's over there, that's Portland, what do you expect?
Yep. And, and what we saw really was, in a very real sense, terrorism, right? If you look at the definition of terrorism, it's
yes.
the use of force and violence to shift the political system. And that's exactly what we just witnessed on an industrial scale. And then you have Democrat leaders in Congress and people at the DOJ saying, oh, no, Antifa's just an idea. You know, well, ideas don't burn down buildings and murder police officers and attack federal courthouses, right? Ideas don't do that. People do that. Terrorists do that. And so we see this incredible two-tier system of justice. And then you look at what happened on January 6th, right? Okay, people committed some minor crimes. There was a little bit of trespassing, some vandalism. Okay, if appropriate, then certainly they could be prosecuted. They're acting like this was some sort of effort to overthrow the government, that this was an insurrection. You have people who've been held in gulag conditions for over a year in Washington, D.C. with no trial. It's simply crazy. And, a lot of times there's little grandmas that, maybe walked into the Capitol building after being invited in by police. This is just so out of control.
Yeah, it is, but I don't understand quite why more Americans are not rising up in protest. Why, like, just from Idaho, our senators and representatives are not just screaming from the top of the mountain that these January 6th people need to be bonded out and bailed out, and that there were provocateurs in the group that was egging them on. Somebody opened the door. It's just like, but everyone is just kind of like calmly taking it.
Yep, and it's scary. You know, there are a few very solid members of Congress who've decided to take this on, and we see how they're being treated. Right, there's a group of members of Congress that tried to get into this jail and visit the prisoners, and the media treated them as if they were terrorists, as if they
yeah.
were insurrectionists. But, I think there's a lot of fear even among members of Congress because they see this. And they realize, hey, if they can raid Donald Trump's house, they can certainly raid some member of Congress's house. And, people see that and they get scared and they don't want to do the right thing. It's very sad.
Hey, listen, if they can raid Donald Trump's house, they can raid yours.
That's right.
That's
exactly right. It was a clear message to everybody. You cross us and
yeah.
You never know what happens.
Yeah, Yeah, you're nobody special if you're not on our site. I want to go back to two things because I think that if people look up these eight predictions and try to get their head around these things that in openly, boldly, out loud, the people that, you know, all the names we mentioned before that were saying the Great Reset and One World Order and global governance, the two things I want to go back to, well, there are three actually. One you mentioned already, about not eating meat, making meat a condiment. I mean, this is obviously just a control point. I mean, why do you think they've done that? Why is meat on their top eight list?
Well, I think part of it is, there's a deliberate agenda to destroy our health. And I think we've seen that very clearly with the big pharmaceutical industries and the government and so on. Meat is almost essential to our diet. It's very difficult to get all the protein and nutrients that you need just from plants. It's possible if you're very, very deliberate about it. But the way they want to transform the food supply, they've been very clear about this. They want us to start getting our protein from eating bugs. Now, if you open up your Bible, the Bible says eating bugs is an abomination. Also, they have a protein in their exoskeleton that we really cannot break down. It's called chitin. Bugs are a very well-known vector for parasite transmission from parasites that get into the human body and animal body. So it's very, very strange. And I think part of it is humiliation. Part of it is, they want to lock up all the land and the natural resources for themselves, for their buddies. They don't think that we ought to have ranches, farms and things like this, and they've said this openly. And they're actually moving right now very quickly in that direction. They're building, as we speak, the biggest insect protein manufacturing facility in the world, just right outside of Decatur, Illinois. They're building another one in Canada. So when they say they want to transform the food supply, they do in a very real way. They want to basically end a lot of ranches, especially the small independent ranches, and then move us toward a central system that they control, where you'll eat a whole lot less meat, if any, and you'll eat bugs and vegetables. So,
it's like in COVID when they wanted to tell us and didn't tell us how many people we could have for Thanksgiving. It was ridiculous, but yet they did it anyway. I mean, it was just like just one more little way to just keep pushing. I hate to say this, but we have to take our last break. We're going to do that right now and come back because I've got a couple of more good questions for Alex Newman.
Sandpoint Superdrug is conveniently open 7 days a week with all the essentials you need. Stop by their pharmacy, immune support area, nutrition center, or shop for household and hardware items. You can always call ahead to order your prescriptions online. They have in-store pickup, free in-town delivery, and curbside pickup. In their expanded hardware department, you'll find the things that you need for all of your home projects. Ask about their contractor discounts. Sandpoint Superdrug is here to help. Located on 5th Avenue in Sandpoint.
People don't just ride the bus to get from point A to point B.
I use the bus to get to work.
I ride to save money. Car payment, vehicle wear and tear, no thank you.
The bus takes me to hang with friends and to see my grandpa once in a while.
I like that it's convenient and safe.
The bus takes me to school and another day closer to summer.
Life is a big bus ride. Let's go. Learn more at itd.idaho.gov/PT.
Under the Sun in downtown Bonners Ferry is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Check them out for lots of new and different merchandise. They have great ways to show off your green thumb with ideas for your garden. Enjoy the downstairs market. Relax in the upstairs loft. Enjoy a coffee or bite to eat in the outdoor seating park or on the patio. Under the Sun, downtown Bonners Ferry, where the sun is always shining.
At the Co-op, we get the farming, ranching, gardening, off-grid, do-it-yourself, and escape-to-the-woods lifestyles. We understand farm animals, pets, honeybees, and wildlife. In our aisles, you will find housewares, clothing, animal health, hand and power tools, yard and garden supplies, plumbing and electrical products, and more. We can help you plant a garden. We can show you how to put in a fence, run a water line, establish a pasture, and catch the rain in barrels. we can show you what you will need to fasten a dealy bob to a whatchamadinget and hang up a doohickey. Our hardware selection is impressive. And when it gets cold outside, we can help you stay warm with wood stoves, energy logs and pellets, and propane options. So when it comes to propane, farm, home, and hardware, think Co-op Gas and Supply Company. We get this rural life like no one else. Come see us. The Co-op, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820.
Who's that again? I don't know that number.
Please hold for a very important message.
And skip. You can skip robocalls, but don't skip your well visits and recommended vaccines. They help protect you. So ask your doctor or pharmacist about any recommended vaccines you may need. Really? Again? And skip.
A public service announcement from Vaccinate Your Family in collaboration with Merck.
KBFI 1450, KSPT 1400, and 97.1 FM.
Well, there was Merck advertising on our little radio station to vaccinate your family. They're all over, aren't they, Alex?
Yes, they are. And the Pfizer ads are ubiquitous now. And why shouldn't they be? They've got billions of taxpayer dollars for having sold us an injection that, best case scenario, we now know doesn't work. Of course, the people who told you it didn't work got censored, silenced, banned, terrorized. And, of course, right. Now we've all been proven correct. But it doesn't
work, but it keeps you maybe out of the hospital, they say, and it keeps you from dying. Also not true. But
yep. And of course, we still have all the, I mean, they think we have the memory of a goldfish. We still have all the videos of Fauci and Burks and all the rest of them telling us that, oh, if you take this, you're not going to get sick. This is just a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And, at this point, we all know that was just a bald-faced lie.
One of the eight projections was we're going to be going to the red planet and finding alien life, I guess, on Mars, according to this gal at NASA. But what I want to ask you, and this is probably going to be getting toward the last question, is all of this in the open that they're doing about the fossil fuels and the takeover of education and food and water and wanting us to eat bugs, not elk. I know that's what they're saying on the outside. What are the hidden agenda items that they are not telling us about, Alex?
Well, I think the end goal, which they don't like to say very clearly, and I believe 100% this is diabolical, right? This is not just evil people. I think this is actually evil that we're dealing with here. But I think they want to create a global system modeled on the communist Chinese system. And they've been pretty open and pretty transparent about the fact that they think there are way too many of us on this planet. They want to create a system where there's a lot less people and where the people who remain will have a lot less freedom. And, if you want to see what the future looks like, I think communist China will give you a very good idea, right? Very, very little individual freedom. Everybody kind of works for the ruling class, kind of like ants in a colony. And that's where they're going with this.
First of all, I want to ask you, have you ever heard of the Black Robe Patriots and Dan Fisher?
Oh, absolutely. I teach at all of their pastors' conferences.
We're doing one
next week in Austin, Texas.
Are you coming to Coeur d'Alene in October?
I will be in Coeur d'Alene, and I would absolutely love to see all the pastors from North Idaho there. It would be wonderful to meet you in person if I haven't met you yet.
I am so excited about it. Okay, Dan is going to be on the radio with me about 2, maybe 3 weeks out from the boot camp for pastors. I want to get you booked on here. I want to rob you and bring you up here, and at least in a meeting in Bonner County, if not on the radio also. That would be awesome. I heard you speak in Boundary County at a meeting up there a little over, I think it was a year ago, and the audience loved you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I would be honored to come. I'll be there for the summit, and then I'll also be giving a couple other talks in Idaho. So hopefully I can chance, I'd love to come into the studio and meet you in person. It'd be just wonderful. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much for today. And hey, everybody, thanks for being with me. I want to let you know that next Tuesday, we're going to move in a different direction. My guest is Kelly Greenway. She's with Dig Nutrition. Talk about nutrition. I'm going to ask her about bugs. Anyway, we're going to take a really hard look at some of the myths that are out there about nutrition, what really works, what we know to be true about nutrition and supplements, and what the problems are with what we're putting into our bodies. And we need to be not naive, but we need to be educated as to what we need to do. And I think Kelly is a gal that's going to be able to help us. So until then, this is Barbara saying, take care of yourselves, and may God greatly bless you, my friends.